The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in Line with you through till one. There were two new cases of COVID-19 announced yesterday at 4 o'clock. That's 52 active cases we have, all isolating in the community at the moment. 69 people are waiting for the result of a test, and 448 people today will be tested for COVID-19. From the vaccination dashboard, 63,983 people have received their first dose, 48,259 second doses administered, and 4,285 people are booked in over the next 7 days. The Department of Health and Social Care currently holding 12,745 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. And you heard in the news, the big news is there is a drop-in session today for your first COVID jab. If you haven't had one, there's an impromptu, suddenly spontaneous vaccination session. It's on today from 1:30. People who haven't had their COVID-19 vaccination are being invited to drop in for their first injection. It's Moderna, the one they'll be doing today at the Chester Street Hub. 1:30 today. Limited supplies are available. Booking isn't required. Simply pitch up. Staff will be on hand till 4:30 to assist with registration information. But that's the important news today. There is an impromptu vaccination session today. Obviously, if you have appointments, the appointments stand as is. But if you haven't had a vaccination, you're being invited to drop in for your first jab of Moderna at the Chester Street Hub, the old ShopRite, the old Morrison's, the old Lipton's, as it was, from 1:30 this afternoon. Now, if you want to get in touch, anything on your mind, by all means, text, email or call. Yesterday, we were live at QE2 High School with the views of Aaron and Jake and Matthew, Finlow and Matt and Aaron and Ilium and Emily, talked about all sorts of things. We talked a lot about drugs yesterday. It's a shocking subject to talk about, but something that's very much in the news. And we mentioned it a couple of days ago, just talking about the fact that there may be Merseyside criminals, Scouse criminals involved in the pushing of drugs who are heading to the Isle of Man to pick up debts that were incurred during COVID lockdown. Mark Sherman is the chair of Isle of Man Crime Stoppers. Mark's with us now. Good afternoon, Mark. What is Isle of Man Crime Stoppers? What does it do?
Hi, Andy. Thanks for talking to me. Well, Isle of Man Crime Stoppers is a registered charity on the island and is part of the wider Crime Stoppers in the UK. And Crime Stoppers is an independent charity that gives people the power to speak up and stop crime. It provides a free anonymous line, or to go online and register, but it's an anonymous way of people being able to provide information. Clearly, everybody would like who knows about crime or anti-social behaviour should ideally get in contact with the police, but we all know that there are people who feel unable to do so, and for them, Crime Stoppers is available.
What's the number, Mark?
It's 0800 555 111.
And this is the important thing. Is that 24 hours?
It's 24 hours, 365 days a year. The call centre is in the UK. Any calls that go through are completely anonymous. We're not interested in who you are. It's only what you know. And the more detail you can give, the better. The crime, the call centre then passes the information that's provided back to the Isle of Man police.
Okay. And as you mentioned, it doesn't matter how much or little information, but people sometimes don't think that what they have in terms of information is that important. And they may be a bit reticent of you know, they just think it's innocuous, but they've noticed something is not quite right.
Well, I think, you know, Crime Stoppers is not part of the police, and I'm not speaking directly on behalf of the police, but I'm sure the police are always very interested in getting any forms of intelligence and information that helps them. So any little piece of information may be very helpful. And so I would suggest that anybody who has that information isn't prepared to speak to the police. Think about Crime Stoppers, 0800 555 111.
Okay, and what's what sort of presence do you have on the Isle of Man, Mark?
Well, it's a small charity. We're always looking for volunteers to help. Our aim is to raise the awareness of Crime Stoppers generally and to encourage people to use the service if they can. So we're part of the wider organisation, but uniquely within Crime Stoppers, we're also an Isle of Man registered charity.
So, obviously, you're looking for information from people. There are some people who think, you know, nobody likes a grass. Nobody likes somebody who's going to snitch on somebody else. What's your response to that?
For us, we're providing an opportunity for people who feel that they need, you know, that they feel that to feel safer or to help the community feel safe. They're prepared to provide that information. It's not really for me to comment on how people feel about whether or not they should do that.
And Mark, what happens if the person who wants to call is actually in some way implicated in a crime and they basically want to get something off their chest? Is Crime Stoppers for that, or do they need to call police?
Well, as I say, the key about Crime Stoppers is it's anonymous and the information will be passed on. So if somebody were to almost give that sort of information, clearly they wouldn't be providing any details. We would never know who they were. The details would be passed on to the police, but there'd be no way of indicating who the individual were. The key thing about Crime Stoppers is that we sort of guarantee that everything is 100% anonymous all the time.
Okay, Mark, will you have any sort of presence at the shows at all, the agricultural shows? Where can people see you? When's your next public appearance?
Well, we have nothing planned. What we're hoping to do is raise our profile in the next 3 to 6 months, and so people may start to see a bit more about Crime Stoppers. We're always open for fundraising. People feel they can support us, and we're always looking for extra volunteers who can help to perhaps do the stalls or to talk to businesses and organisations about what Crime Stoppers does and how it can help.
How did you? What led you to Crime Stoppers, Mark?
One of my former sort of colleagues is still involved in Crime Stoppers and invited me to join, and so I said yes.
Okay. All right. First of all, if anybody needs to get in touch, not on a kind of criminal basis, but if they want to find out more about Isle of Man Crime Stoppers in general to perhaps help fundraising, how do they get in touch?
At this stage, I think I shall just leave that a bit longer, and what we'll do is we'll start to put out some publicity which will give people details of that they can follow up. So hopefully we'll be doing sort of press releases in the next few days and weeks, and that will start to raise the profile. And perhaps
okay.
And when we get to that point, I could come back and just mention it a bit more on your programme.
Okay, and once again, the all-important number for Crime Stoppers is?
0800 555 111.
Okay, Mark Sherman, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks very much, Andy.
All right,
bye.
Good to talk to you. It's 12:15, Man in Line on Manx Radio. That's the number, 0800 555 111, completely anonymous, goes through to a UK call centre. Any information that you pass on is completely anonymous, isn't attributable, but will be passed to the relevant authorities on the Isle of Man. That's Isle of Man Crime Stoppers, and as they get more and more of a presence, we're more than happy to deal with that. As we welcome our first influx of visitors, we're now also open to drug dealers as well. We've already spoken about cannabis, not only about medicinal use, but recreational. So should recreational use of cannabis be legalized? It's something we talk about all the time in the schools, and bearing in mind it's that generation that will have to cope with all this. And also harder drugs. Should we take a different view of the use of harder drugs? That's an issue raised by a caller on the Man in Line answer phone.
So I've been spending £90 a fortnight on CBD oil, which is pretty extortionate compared to buying weed off a local drug dealer. I'd much prefer being able to get something from a pharmacy, but the strength of the CBD oils in the pharmacies is nothing compared to what you can get online and from the UK. But then again, it's very expensive. It helps with my back pain. As regards all other drugs, if it was regulated, you're not going to have to worry, for those who use other drugs, what someone's been mixing your drugs with. I mean, the fact that however long the war on drugs has been going on for, it's ridiculous that nobody's had the intelligence to try a different tact. There's always been drugs about. They've never been able to stop it. They've not made a dent on it. They all get excited when they make a big bust, but the next week, there's more come to the island. I mean, it's infuriating having to listen to people bang on about it and not make a change. Regulate drugs, stop the dealers, stop the gangs, stop the violence.
17 minutes past 12 midday. Call text 166177, email studio at maxradio.com. 661368. No plans for flights to Dublin, says Jack. All Irish nationals are cut off. What plans are in place with the Manx government? Well, yesterday, of course, there was due to be a Mananan to Belfast, but the bridge broke in Belfast, so they couldn't discharge there. By the way, the amenity sites apparently aren't taking any fridges, freezers until further notice, says Graham. TV screens, are the amenity sites taking TVs, fridges and freezers at the moment? Let's see. A mention in from Newsdate on the... Is there an update on when the NHS app COVID vaccination certificates will come online? I'm a seafarer and will have to go to Egypt to join a ship out there, to join a vessel at the end of the week, and the Egyptian authorities require a QR-stamped vaccination certificate. Currently, the application is showing me that they have no record of my vaccinations. I thought it was supposed to be rolled out at the same time as the borders have changed. If you could find out more from the government to give us an update, says Xavier, we'll see what the timescale is on that. And thanks for raising that. Actually, let's find out more about the fridges and freezers. Paul's with us on Man in Line today. Paul, what can you tell us about fridges and freezers?
Well, first of all, I'm very surprised. On the 6th of July, I had the pleasure of going down to the Southern Amenity Kit with my colleague with an old fridge and freezer in the back of his van. And when we got there, a really nice jovial chappie, the operative there, he says, "I hope you're not expecting to deposit that here because we're not taking them." And I said, "Pardon?" I says, "I have my £27 here in my hand, absolutely ready to give you." He says, "Sorry, we can't take them. We're not allowed to take them. None of the amenity sites are allowed to take them." I says, "What has happened there?" He says, "The contract has run out." So I says, "Well, what are we supposed to do?" He says, "Well, you'll just have to go and put it back where you got it from and hold on to it until various things get sorted." So I was a wee bit surprised at this, in fact, surprised to the extent that I phoned Manx Radio, because I was curious to know how long it had been going on for, why I had missed it, and how long it was likely to go on for, and what was happening to all the fridges and freezers in between times, and where were they going. So anyway, I subsequently thought about it and thought about it, and then I got a phone call to see if I was prepared to come on the radio, which I obviously am. And in the interim period, I have carried out some investigation in an attempt to try and find out exactly what the details are. And it has been quite interesting. The contract really only expired on the 30th of June this year, and it is currently being renegotiated, and in fact may even have been renegotiated, and in fact it may be that we're able to go back to disposing fridges and freezers at amenity sites sometime next week. There is, however, one possible slight Well, the mention was there might be an increased price, which is not unusual for this particular new service. And I believe the department in charge is the Waste Management Department. It would also be noted that some fridge companies have contacted this morning, some suppliers have private arrangements for the disposal of fridges and freezers.
Oh, I see. So if you buy one, they'll take the other one away.
They will indeed. And then the other thing that I did, I spoke to Costains, for example, up in Foxdale, who have got transfrontier shipment licenses for quite a lot of products. And they said, no, they can't do fridges or freezers. And they also advised me that Bramble down at the Hills Meadow is not taking the same situation. But that someone had heard through the grapevine that a national company, which is based up at Spring Valley, may have something in place, not only for both purchases of new products, but also for the disposal of alternative ones.
Where's your fridge freezer now, Paul?
It is standing in the middle of the garden with nothing in it. And I am very unhappy because I would have loved to have had a lot of food in it. And it's one of those things you just have to live with until such time as it is sorted out. And as I say, I was quite surprised at the time to find out that, number one, none of my friends knew about it. Number two, it knocked the socks off me. Number three, I phoned Manx Telecom, Manx Radio. And number four, I just have done a bit of research and come up with what may or may not be the solution. So maybe by the middle of next week, the whole problem may have gone away. So it may have been just I lit a piece of blue paper and it fizzed and went out.
Okay, Paul, thanks very much for cluing us in on that. We'll find out whether or not there's been a new contract signed and when it's going to happen. But as you say, probably it won't be £27 anymore. Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just one thing that hasn't come up but of recent, the new license bill going through government. Well, one of the things that it doesn't concern me particularly now, but in the future, the brewery are pressing to change the optics within the pubs, and this will have to be for every licensed premises on the island, restaurants, cafes, clubs, and pubs, from what is our present one fluid ounce, what we term as a fifth of a gill, down to 25 millilitres, which is the English measure, and that is considerably smaller than the Manx
measure. Why are they pushing for that?
Well, probably profit motive, but they're saying that they can't get the optics. But Northern Ireland, their optic measure is bigger than the Manx again. Because I know the friends used to come over and they would have a short in the pub or in the restaurant, but they would have a double. And that's what I'm thinking was going to happen here. Because the measures are going to be quite a piece less. No doubt the price will stay the same or even go up, but enhancing the profits of the brewery. But people are going to say, oh, look at that, that's hardly wet the bottom of the glass, you better stick another one in it. So they're on doubles. And I haven't read the licensing bill going through, but this is the sort of thing that the government will sneak through, and then afterwards it'll be too late. It has been brought up by one particular MHK at my behest with the Office of Trading, whatever they call themselves these days, and he said, oh, well, they can't get the optics. They can't get that size optics anymore. But if every licensed premises, and they won't only just have one, they'll have dozens of them, can't get them, then the whole thing is going to be a very, very expensive exercise. I think it's about 16% less you're going to get of any measure of spirits.
Well, I seem to remember, isn't the fifth of a gill on the Isle of Man, that's different to the UK one, I'm sure.
It is. It's larger than the UK, but it's smaller than the Irish measure, and I'm not sure what the Scottish one is, but the Manx measure was larger than the UK measure. And this is just another erosion of our Manx-ness by doing away with it, because, I'll stand corrected on this, but I think the brewery, although it has a local name, is largely owned by a UK company. And they're just wanting to make more money on the system. And every licensed premise is going to have to buy new measures if this goes through.
So if it goes through, that'll mean even the free houses, everybody else, even social clubs, everybody.
Everybody that has a liquor license will have to change, by law, their optics, the size of their optics. And this is a credulous thing, because look at the number of restaurants that's on the island here, where you go in and you'll order a whiskey or a gin or whatever it is. You're going to get less in your glass. But that, by law, will have to be the legitimate measure by the Manx government. At the moment, it's a fluid ounce, which used to equate to a normal bottle was 26 fluid ounces, or they used to have the big bottles of 40 fluid ounces. But now they've gone metric. The brewery, in their wisdom, will want to change it to 25 millilitres, which is smaller.
Okay. All right, Howard. Thanks for...
So it'd be interesting to see if anybody will give any more information on that before the licensing bill goes through on the QT.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
All right,
bye.
29 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Making school children wear face masks to protect against the spread of coronavirus in the classroom isn't going to happen. Isn't an option. The Education, Sport and Culture Minister said that following calls for more mitigations to be brought in to protect children who have health conditions that make them more vulnerable to COVID. Almost half of the 52 active cases we have on the Isle of Man are children. Dr. Allinson.
We know that putting face masks on particularly primary school children is very problematic and isn't recommended by clinicians. What we have done is brought in a range of mitigations across the secondary school phase and primary schools in terms of increased ventilation, in terms of hand washing, all those things, and also have been trying to get through the message that if you want to wear a mask, that's absolutely fine, particularly if you've recently been in contact with people who have perhaps travelled to the UK. But to put it in perspective, we do have at the moment 23 cases confirmed in people under the age of 18. Only two of those are travel related. The rest actually have been developed within school settings, and we still have just the two schools involved, Cronkyberry and St Ninian's School.
You said last week at the media briefing that attendance, while compulsory, you're not going to be pursuing parents who don't put their children in school at the moment. Given that there have been these concerns, what is attendance like? Are there large numbers of pupils not in school at the moment?
That's a very good question. When you look across secondary schools, and obviously that was where the problem started recently, we've got 92% attendance, and obviously a lot of A-level students wouldn't have been coming in anyway. So that's fairly normal. We do have, as I said, some young people who have been affected by coronavirus who are isolating. We also have about 130 who are self-isolating at the moment because they were close contacts. A lot of them will probably be coming back into school over the next couple of days because they'll have done their 10 days. And we're looking at ways of trying to deal with the self-isolation aspects. We're going to be discussing that in terms of talking within Comen and with Tynwald members, and also talking to the AEG as well about when we start the new academic year, how we can make schools safe but not deprive so many children of the education that they really need.
Now, I know one mitigation you have had in place is the offer of lateral flow tests for those in secondary schools. What's uptake been like?
Since the outbreak that we've had in the two schools, the uptake has gone up quite dramatically and people are using them, and we've had four positive cases on the back of lateral flow tests.
The Education, Sport and Culture Minister talking about face masks not really being an option in school. Well, we'll keep a very close eye on that, certainly. And what do you know? If you find anything, you'd be trying to get rid of a fridge or a freezer or a TV at the tips. Are they taking them now, or is this new contract actually appeared? Just a quick mention, it's Thursday. It is Thursday, isn't it? It's Thursday, which means at St. John's, in only, three, 4 days ago, Princess Anne was inside. Today, it's Sheila Gorn and Dot. It's the Isle of Man Farmers Market, in royal company, no less. Isle of Man Farmers Market at St. John's today and every Thursday for all your Manx produce until 4 o'clock or so this afternoon. All the Manx vegetables and pies and eggs and beeswax products and honey, it's all there. Pop along and see Isle of Man Farmers Market. Earlier on this year, I don't know whether you recollect, there was the Isle of Man Friends of Israel held a Red Sea Spies event. It was due to be earlier on this year, but it was put off because of COVID. Speakers, Rafi Berg, he wrote a book called Red Sea Spies. It's now on this Sunday, the 11th of July. It's called Fact, Fiction and Fakery, the Epic Mossad Mission which Saved Ethiopian Jews. And it's on this Sunday, 7:30 in the evening for 8 o'clock at the Elim Onken Church in 2nd Avenue in Onken. It's free to go in there, the light refreshments, but it's a very interesting story about an epic Mossad mission that saved the Ethiopian Jews. Fact, Fiction and Fakery. It's the BBC journalist Rafi Berg has been correspondent in the Middle East for years and years. Actually, started off on the Wirral. He worked at radio stations in Wrexham, I think, and in Liverpool as well. Rafi Berg is based in the Middle East now. The book's called Red Sea Spies. That's this Sunday, the 11th of July, 7:30 for 8 at the Elim Onken Church in 2nd Avenue. Open line, text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, call 66 1368. Have you got rid of your fridge lately?
Mike's Motors of Castletown is your local family-owned car, van and motorhome dealer. Down at Mike's Motors, we have a whole range of affordable vehicles with up to 7 years finance easily arranged and part exchange welcome. We buy and sell motorhomes too and have a fantastic choice in stock right now. Perfect for any staycation on our beautiful island. Visit our website, mikesmotors.im, for our latest stock. Or call 823-200. That's 823-200.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
A&B Metals. Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the A&B Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. A&B Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
A&B Metals, for the biggest range in stock of structural steel and cladding for collection or delivery. Talk to the steel experts today.
Call 623-918-A&B Metals.
Weddings, conferences, parties. Whatever the event, big or small, CK Catering makes sure it's perfect with fabulous home-cooked food made with as much locally sourced produce as possible. Set menu and bespoke options available, including any dietary requirements. With uniformed staff, crockery, cutlery, glass and table linen available for hire. We can even help you arrange the venue. CK Catering. Call 480551 or find them on Facebook. Catering for every event. Perfectly.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railways fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30 on Manx Radio. On AM, FM, online, on smart speakers and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. 24 minutes now before 1 o'clock. Our candidate today, every day on Man in Line, we bring you to the candidate standing in the general election in September, standing for the Green Party in Glenfeibre and Peel, is Leo Cousins, and you'll hear from Leo on the show today. By the way, Andy, some of the gangs may be based in Liverpool, but they tend to move around to the more affluent areas. So you shouldn't call them Merseysiders or Scousers. Well, what do we call them? Liverpudlians, Scousers, Merseysiders? These are thugs. These are amoral thugs who are trying to sell overpriced drugs on the Isle of Man and rope in our youngsters. I don't really know how we can be quite nice about them, really. Cases are rising mainly through travel, says Richard. How do the positive cases get through the ports and the airports? I think we need to be told about this. A mention is, I don't know why anybody would wish to take drugs, says Phil. Sitting in some bedsit, jacking up with drugs while children are neglected. What do we do about these people? You just need to be strong and say no. Big Phil, well, you're a very strong person, Phil. So what do we do about vulnerable people? Do you remember yesterday talking to the students at Peel? They know. Everyone, every young person knows. And we're kidding ourselves if we think that drugs aren't everywhere on the Isle of Man. What we don't have on the Isle of Man is a lot of drug-related crime. Principally because as an affluent island, bluntly speaking, most people who want drugs can afford to buy them. But times are changing. We'll be looking at that more in the future. And as always, I must thank several people who've contacted me with information and stories about things that are happening regarding that on the Isle of Man. I'm always very happy to hear about this entirely confidentially. But it's something we're looking at on Manx Radio for the future. Something to certainly we'll be bringing up with politicians as we head towards that general election. And by the way, 2 weeks today, it's the local elections, Thursday, July 22nd. It's going to be the local elections. 11 weeks today, it's the Keys general election, Thursday, September 23rd. And as we get towards then, you'll hear all the candidates. Not only that, but bringing back something that happened years ago, we're taking Man in Line out in the evening and doing some 7 o'clock in the evening shows live around the Isle of Man in all the constituencies, talking to the candidates and inviting you to be there. So it's rather like it's going to be a live Man in Line in places. We're heading to the Viking in Castletown, Ginger Hall in Sulby, Seven Kingdoms in the centre of Douglas. We'll be at Jack's on the Prom. We'll be at the University College Isle of Man. We'll be at the Pinewood Community Hub. We'll be at the Shore in Laxey. Douglas Rugby Club will be broadcasting live from Ocean Views also in Onken, the Mitre in Ramsey, and the Bay in Rushen as well. And fingers crossed, hopefully the Golf Club in Peel as well. That's going to be happening throughout the early part of September. Man in Line out, 7 o'clock in the evening. So if you're perhaps working or you're tied up in the daytime, you can come to a live Man in Line where we'll have all the candidates in front of you and you can ask questions and see what they're offering, what they have to say. I must admit, when I did the Man in Line, is it really 20 plus years ago? One of the best we ever did was at the Mitre in Ramsey. It was absolutely packed. And it was terrific. But I don't know what the prospective candidates got out of it, but it sounded really good. Here's a note in. Government are in talks for a new contract regarding fridges, says this correspondent, 785. They know all about that. Why are we spending more money making more cycle lanes in Paul Rose? Get the potholes done before any more cycle lanes. Big congratulations, by the way. This is, I don't like self-congratulations, but it's not me. It's the team behind IM18. You can check out the podcast at manxradio.com. Southern Andy liked IM1. Number 8 is on. You can catch that on the podcast pages as well. Just consider this, says Terence. If I consumed £30 worth of whiskey in one night, I could potentially die, but I couldn't do the same with cannabis. The problem with cannabis is it hasn't been regulated, monitored and checked. The Isle of Man could produce a strain of cannabis that has low amounts of the psychoactive chemical THC, which is safe for human consumption, while still providing limited pleasurable effect for the consumer. Thank you, Terence. It's a good point. Somebody's got to get hold of this, though. Who would get hold of this whole situation? Is it biochemists? Is it the government? What's going to happen with this? Apparently, Currys take old appliances for free, says this correspondent. If you could confirm that, that'd be terrific, even if you don't buy it from Currys, they say as well. Any update regarding the AstraZeneca doses that aren't recognised for travel in Europe? Remember those 4210, Z001, 02 and 03. Any from one from this will have to isolate even on their return with two jabs. We haven't heard anything from the government on that. So I wonder what they're going to do about it, whether those AstraZeneca ones have been cleared. Neil dropped me a note and said, Andy, as we welcome visitors to the Isle of Man, surely it is time that Ronald's Way Airport gardens were tidied up. They're an absolute disgrace. The borders are choked with weeds and grass. Ronald's Way is a major gateway to the island. The first impressions are really important. If people are walking out of Ronald's Way being welcome to the Isle of Man and they see a tip of a garden, then surely we should do something about it. I've had a couple of messages in about that. One just said, we had all the time off. Why weren't the gardens done at Ronald's Way? If the drug trade, says Terry, is kept on the black market, the situation will stay the same. Why don't we go the way that many European countries do and allow personal growth of cannabis plants with harsh penalties for anyone caught selling? So you can grow your own and consume it, but if you sell it, you would get nicked. Department for Enterprise should be looking for a manufacturing opportunity for an Isle of Man company to supply those Isle of Man size optics, says this correspondent as well. Right, I just want to talk about this thing that's happening down in Tramode. Have you heard about what's happening in Tramode? Well, Mr. Baker is out and about in Tramode, and they're putting in some special cycling lanes in Tramode. Tim Baker, and by the way, we have another. Tim Baker's been on Man in Line, but of course he was on a couple of weeks ago. But Ray Harmer is on next week, next Wednesday. You can have the Policy and Reform Minister Ray Harmer. Plans to transform Tramode Road, encouraging more people to leave their cars at home. Department for Infrastructure released details of the scheme, seeing cars, cyclists and pedestrians sharing the route. Tramode Road, cars, cyclists and pedestrians sharing the route, is the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Baker.
This route was identified on the active travel investment plan that was put together with the help of Sustrans. And obviously, we know as part of the area plan for the east, we do need to get more journeys being made, you know, not involving private car journeys. So we need to make investment in our infrastructure to enable that to happen.
And obviously, for people that are familiar with this route, it's quite a narrow stretch of road with some sort of pinch point moments. Are you confident that the balance of cars, people and bikes will fit in that area? And if not, is any work going to be done to actually widen the route?
It's a very good point you've made there. And we do need to secure some additional land to effectively create a widening of the corridor to allow all those things to sit comfortably together. And we're working with the neighbouring landowner on the non-river side of the highway to achieve that. And actually, as part of that, we're proposing to do some tree planting as well to enhance that area. So there will be a line of 23 lime trees proposed to be planted alongside the football and cricket ground, and over time those should make a magnificent appearance, similar to the trees on Peel Road.
There is already social media comment about the fact that the hedgerow looks like it will be removed from the pictures that have gone on display for this project. Is it really necessary to take out existing trees and hedges to make this work?
Well, there's a big difference between a hedgerow and trees, and I've already said that we're intending to install a stand of 23 lime trees. So the planning has been done very much with the ecology and nature in mind, and we need to make sure that we are looking at this from all dimensions and making sure that we're putting in place the things that are needed. So that's all obviously for the planning process. It's a consideration that will be fully evaluated, but if we wrap everything that we do going forward in too many constraints, we'll never achieve anything.
Tim Baker, MHK. Planning application for the project submitted this month before a funding bid is made. Another public meeting at Cronkbourne Cricket Club is going to be held a week on Tuesday, the 20th, for you to discuss the plans. Stephen's with us now. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy. Hello, listeners. Just a quick observation, because I know you've got time. Speaking about the active travel plans, it just struck me that the major way to convey people seems to be getting forgotten about in favour of pushing people on bicycles. I just find this completely a mystery, really, because if you're travelling home or going shopping to get into Douglas or going even to work, an awful lot of people will not want to use their bicycle or not own one. Well, we all need to get into Douglas and go home again. And I want to know, why does bus use seem to be getting pushed to the back of the queue and bicycles seem to be being pushed forward? And yet, bicycle use, I like a bicycle. I go out on my bike as often as I can and I do enjoy it. But for those people who may not like that, but need to go shopping and carry their goods and get to work relatively dry, then to me, if you want to get them out of the cars, then the only substitute, the only proper substitute is, on an island of this type, is bus use. So I'd like to pose that question, and maybe you can pose it next time there's anybody on from the Council of Ministers. Are buses being put to the back of the queue in these active travel plans?
Okay, all right. Thanks, Stephen. That one's jotted down. I'll certainly use that. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, it's 11 minutes to one.
Blackford Financial Services are proud to announce that our Ramsey office is now open. Blackfords are here to help make life simple as we guide you through the important financial stages in life, from helping you on your first mortgage right through to planning for your well-earned retirement. Our philosophy will help you live for today, but plan for tomorrow. Call into 87 Parliament Street, Ramsey, for a chat, or contact Ashley on 816 437 to arrange your free no-obligation meeting.
Grandad, please can I have a drink?
Of course.
Can I have ice in it?
Well, that's easy with the ice maker in our new fridge freezer from Pascoe's.
Ooh, and a jug ice too.
Last time, you got covered in chocolate.
Sorry, Grandad. But you do have a new washing machine from Pascoe's.
Well, that's true. Luckily, I'm keeping my cool with this excellent new fan from Pascoe's. They really do have all the electrical products we need for summer.
Pascoe's of Tramode, your island's premier electrical appliance retailer.
Isle of Man Railways.
Tickets are now available for this season's range of onboard dining events, featuring old favourites including the legendary Pie and Mash Train, the Curry Club and many more. Or take your taste buds on a trip to remember with our fabulous Dining Cars of the World and Steam Theme events. To find out what's cooking on the dining car and to book, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Just a quick reminder, though, there's the impromptu vaccination session on from 1:30 today, the Chester Street Hub. Simply pitch up if you haven't had your COVID-19 vaccination first. Then just drop in for the first injection of the Moderna vaccine, Chester Street Hub in Douglas, 1:30 today. Limited supplies available, first come, first served. No booking required. There will be staff on hand till 4:30 to assist you with registration information.
The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
And a message in from Mary just said, those man in lines, that's not representing or replacing the requisition meetings. No, there will still be official public meetings for that. But we just thought we'd have some fun with man in line and go out and about in the evening, 7 o'clock, live man in lines around all the constituencies with the candidate and you live in the place for an hour. And we'll just put some microphones out and see what happens. It's time for our candidate today. for the general election in September. Standing for the Green Party in Glenfeibre and Peel is Leo Cousins. Now, Leo Cousins is up against currently standing in Glenfeibre and Peel, Geoffrey Boot, Trevor Cowan, Tim Crookall, Ray Harmer, Michael Lee and Kate Lord-Brennan. John Moss spoke to Leo Cousins about his assertion that in some cases single issues tended to dominate political discussion.
I think people struggle to understand the full mechanisms of Tim Walden and Leg Co and Chief Minister and how one progresses an issue from the start towards the end. So there's a bit of sort of talking just basically about how Tynwald works before we even start to get to the issues.
You say there's a great disconnect from politics, except for single issues. Is this reflecting on that as well? That we've had an issue, interestingly, over trees recently, which attracted a great deal of interest, but that was a single issue. You say overall people are not really interested in the whole holistic picture.
No, I think it's a mixed bag. Single issues are a problem, and generally speaking, because there are people that are out there who are willing to watch Rome burn over a single issue, and it really destroys the work of people canvassing and candidate.
Can you give an example there? It's a bit drastic.
How people might view drugs. I mean that. Or cannabis legislation, tax issues. I mean, there's a variety, and people can have a particular issue, and in a lot of cases, and I do understand it, and there is some degree of fairness, but in the fact you may say, well, we always look at the economy, but there are sort of even more ones that break down. So when you're canvassing on the door and you're talking to people and you're saying, well, here's this issue, I mean, I'm a green candidate, so I'm going to have a green tinge, but that doesn't mean that I don't understand the economy or that I don't understand healthcare or the other things that will affect people. And so with that, it makes a very pointless sort of conversation, but a sort of process. If people are saying, well, that's it, and the only way you're going to get my vote is if you put that in.
You mentioned talking about green issues, but with the position we're in after COVID, isn't the next 5 years going to be devoted to the economy and getting that on a level footing again, as opposed to the, can I say, luxuries almost of green issues?
Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously, we do have good financial reserves. We're not in a terrible position. And I remember Mr. Cannon pointing out that we could have gone on a lot longer in that situation had it been necessary. So I'm not quite sure. There are obviously concerns.
So there's room for green issues in the next 5 years?
Well, I don't think that there's a question of whether there's room. I think it's we have to start looking at that. I mean, if we take it, for example, the power generation plant, that is obviously coming up for decommissioning. And 15 years from the outset, if we want a variety of energy sources and a sustainable way of going forward, well, that really starts at the beginning of the next administration. But they do fit hand in glove into each other. I mean, people, when I'm doing my meetings and speaking to people, they say, well, we would like to have a variety of engineering jobs, particularly. I mean, we attract TT people here. They're involved in engineering. And at the moment, we're in a little bit of a situation where we talk about infrastructure, but some jobs, and we sort of go into shock because the results of them are so painful to see in that respect. But so we have to change that. But there are possibilities, and we're going to have to look at some of these possibilities and these sort of larger scale engineering jobs in the next 15 years.
Unless other green candidates obviously are successful. It's possible.
Well, to be honest, I think regardless, these issues, when I'm on the door, I'm not talking about...
I was just thinking about being an effective politician. Once you get in there, if you get elected, to ally yourself with others.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. On the door, I don't think people's issues are really concerned with so much of the green. I think they sort of accept that and accept that we're going to have to take necessary action. I mean, particularly for me as a Glenfeibre and Peel candidate, people are concerned with, well, we've got a lot of issues in the constituency which have been neglected or had limited success.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio General Election mini-site at manxradio.com.
Ooh.
Leo Cousins from the Green Party, standing in Glenn Faber and Peel, up against Geoffrey Boot, Trevor Cowan, Tim Crookall, Ray Harmer, Michael Lee and Kate Lord Brennan. And probably somebody else is going to declare today. It's getting very busy in the declarations front around the Isle of Man. That's it for Man Online today. Remember, everything you send, all the texts and emails are all read. Not everything is used on air. Because some people send 16-page documents saying, read this. No. Call and tell me all about it. And remember, if there's something you would like discussing on the air, don't just, say, why don't you discuss it? And why don't you call 66 13 68 and tell us about it yourself. Or you can call the answer phone 682 631 out of hours. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern today.